Nebuchadnezzar, you might have maybe wanted to have tried Daniel first. Really. But this is why you didn't. You don't realize this. You're going to realize it. I want all of us to realize it now that the failure of King Nebuchadnezzar's fancy boys, his hieromancers, his magi, the Chaldeans, for the love of God. The reason for that is they set off the success of Daniel. They were the preliminary failures. And I am telling you, everything has to be tried practically. If only God could just come down here and say, look, if you try it without me, it's going to be a miserable failure. Just let me do it right. I'll bring in a good government. You see, it wouldn't work for us because for us, it would be too theoretical. We got to have life experience. You can't tell somebody something, they have to live it. Hi, everybody. Good morning. This is Martin Zender once again coming to you live from Broward College in Davie, Florida. God is not theoretical. We have to actually live this stuff. I often thought that with the law of Moses, if only we could just, God could just have said, all right, trust me, flesh and blood is not able to do the things of God. Romans 8, Paul says it right there, flesh and blood is not able to subject itself to the law. You might as well say it this way, to a declaration of the deity. But Israel did this, didn't she? At the foot of Mount Sinai, just tell us what to do, God, and we'll do it. And God said, okay, do it. And it has to be lived out. It can't be theoretical. God just can't say it. That's why Paul comes later. I often wonder, why couldn't Romans 5:20 have been written back in Leviticus 5:20? The law came so that the transgressions would increase. That would have been a nice thing to know for Israel, wouldn't it have been? No, it would not have been. Because you couldn't have told Israel that. You couldn't have convinced them. Or the rest of the world, for that matter. We have to see a practical example of the failure. We have to live it out. And apparently, we have to live it out over and over and over again. Repeated failure, demonstrating the inability of man. And this is going to be the common theme until you get it, until even it's permeated into your brain, that it's all preliminary. All of human activity is preliminary. It's a setup. It's a setup for the success of God, for the success of Daniel. We're seeing that in microcosm here in the book of Daniel. One of the secrets of Daniel is that the failure, long train of failure, must come before the success. Everything has to be tried. So King Nebuchadnezzar calls in finally Daniel, the one he named after his God. And for some reason, and I like this though, is that Daniel is as a god to Nebuchadnezzar. Now this is strange, seeing as how Daniel came into Babylon as a prisoner, handcuffed. You've seen those movies where this long train of slaves or prisoners comes into the kingdom and they're chained together. That's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the rest of the house of Israel. And yet, God gives him wisdom in the sight of his superior. This happened with Pharaoh and Moses. Moses, this country bumpkin, was made as a god to Pharaoh, and he was given an audience. Pharaoh was the greatest ruler of the day, and yet he has to bow to the words of Moses, as spoken by Aaron, because Moses stuttered. Thank God. I stuttered when I was a kid. God uses the weak to confound the wise. And since this is a pattern with him, I want you to take comfort in this. Because now your words maybe not so much revered or respected. But in the coming era of our glory, and God is giving a picture. You see, he's giving us hints of the glory in here. In Daniel and in, same in Genesis with Joseph. Is it people who came into the land as slaves? Joseph came into Egypt as a slave. Daniel comes into Babylon as a slave. Paul goes into Rome as a prisoner. Jesus Christ comes into Jerusalem as a criminal. Look at this. Do you see a pattern? Do you see a pattern being dragged before the magistrates? That's us today. We are dragged into a veil of tears, valley of the shadow of death. We're subjected to all sorts of humiliations. Nobody listens to us, relatively speaking. The multitudes are not falling down at my words, but they will. And that's where we turn the coin over and show you the outcome of these men of God. We see opportunity being given them. Not opportunity, that's the wrong word, because that makes you think that God is stepping back, giving Daniel an opportunity to show what he can do. No. Daniel is a vessel used by God as an opportunity for God to show what he can do. We are an opportunity for God to show what he can do through us. That takes all the pressure off of you. They told me I had to live like Jesus Christ. In Catholic school, raised to be like Jesus. That's all you have to do. And now, some people are confused because they even see these exhortations in the scriptures. Talked about this one the other day, Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. How do I do that? I become a canvas on which God paints a masterpiece. God is working through us. He worked through Moses in front of Pharaoh. Moses spoke, Pharaoh trembled. And the king himself, King Nebuchadnezzar, is named Daniel because he saw the wisdom of Daniel in him. Named him after his god Belshazzar. Daniel just said, well, whatever. If that's what you want to call me, go ahead. Because he recognized that the Spirit of God resided in him. This is a microcosm. It's a picture, a hint, a suggestion of the glory that we're going to have among the celestials, where at our word, heavenly magistrates will fall prostrate before us. Happened to Joseph. Don't shake your head at this. Don't roll your eyes at what I just said. Majesties in the heavens will realize that we have the wisdom of God and the mind of Christ, and we'll be acting on behalf of Christ. That's a big deal. That's your future. And God is gracious enough to show you pictures of it. Even the Apostle Paul just thought of this. Some of Caesar's household were believers. Told this to the Philippians. Caesar's household, some of them, fell before the wisdom of Paul, recognized in him the Spirit of God. And even we have hints of this given us. God's merciful to give us suggestions of this on occasion. Someone will say, your words changed my life. They will recognize the Spirit of God in you. Something in you is different. And they'll recognize that this is what we're seeing with Daniel and the king of the world, Nebuchadnezzar. The king of the world and a former prisoner of war. Amazing. God always does it this way. Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Verse 10, Daniel chapter 4. Now the visions of my head on my bed are these. Perceiving am I, and lo, an oak in the midst of the earth, and its height is enormous. The oak increases and is mighty, and its height is reaching to the heavens, and it is perceptible to the extremity of the entire earth. Its leaves are seemly, and its pollination abundant, and sustenance for all is in it. Under it, the animal of the field is shaded, and in its boughs are abiding the birds of the heavens, and from it, all flesh is having sustenance for itself. This was a beautiful picture of the extent of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. He provided for the entire earth. This is very rare in a wicked eon. To provide peace and plenty for all the inhabitants of the earth. And yet Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel in the throne room hearing this. This is his initial reaction. Listen to this. Very interesting. Then Daniel, whose name is Belshazzar, is desolated 1 hour, and his ruminations are flustering him. Responding is the king and saying, Belshazzar, the dream and its interpretation must not fluster you. Answering is Belshazzar and saying, my lord, the dream be for those hating you and its interpretation for your foes. He was in dangerous territory now. This is why those stupid magi and the necromancers, that's a contradiction, isn't it? Stupid magi. And the necromancers or the hieromancers and the Chaldeans and the wise men, this is why they trembled before this. Because as we're going to see, something happens next that's very unflattering to the tree. And Daniel knows it's coming already. And how can you prophesy disaster for the king? Very difficult position. We haven't gotten there yet in the dream, but we're going to get there. And you're going to see that it'll be so difficult for somebody who constantly has to please and impress and kowtow to this great magistrate. Tell him that it's trouble for you. That takes guts. It takes guts. And if I can draw another analogy, it takes guts for us to decimate the great and mighty oak of the Christian religion, or the great and mighty oak of human government, especially that government in this era that is going to rise to the preeminence of Babylon, of Nebuchadnezzar. And just like in that day, in this day, it's going to be magnificent, and you have to be an idiot to doubt its worth. And yet there's going to be a lonely voice of a few people, in this case one, Daniel, who's going to tell it like it is. And we must stick to the message. In spite of all splendor that humans can build, it's deceptive, it's deceiving, and it's going down. Tomorrow, we're going to read about Nebuchadnezzar going down.